So, you know, there's a difference between knowing something and doing something, right? Right? Like, knowledge has to lead to action, or we don't really know it. I picked on our students in the first service. There's a bunch of students sitting right here in this middle section, and I mean, we just talked for a minute. Like, they know what they need to do in order to get good grades at school. They've got to be there. First, that's important, right? That they've got to read the books, they've got to study, they've got to do the homework. Like, they know what they need to do. But if they come short of that, right, if they just know it and don't actually do it, they're not going to get the grades that they want. And it applies to every area of our lives, not just our kiddos and our students in school, right? Getting our finances in order, a lot of us know what to do, but if we don't do it, it's not going to happen. Getting our bodies in shape, we know what to do, but if we don't do it, it's not going to happen. Listen, to know something or to hear something is one thing. Right, but to actually do it, it takes us to an entirely new level. When information moves us to action, it means something. We're displaying that we've actually learned and taken to heart what we've heard. Open your Bible to James 1 with us today. We're going to be in James chapter 1, working our way through the book of James, and just sort of follow me on this. When we open up our Bibles this morning and begin to read what God has said about knowing something and then actually doing something, we're going to see that if we aren't living out what we see here, if we aren't living this, God says, then we don't know it. Maybe we've read it before. Maybe we've heard it. Maybe we've seen it. Maybe it's on a picture frame or painting in our home. Maybe we've told our kids about it. Right? But if we aren't living it, we're going to see today, God says we're missing it. Right, and he really begins to unfold that concept in verse 21. But before we get there, we're starting in verse 19. That's where we left off last week. And it's almost like bonus material sandwiched here in the middle of James chapter 1. Right, in verses 19 and 20, we see this theme. It's going to work its way throughout the letter. It'll reveal itself again as well. But it's almost this transitional thought, right, following up what we did last week and before where we're going to spend our time this week, but we don't want to move past it without soaking this up. Look at verse 19. James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." To put it bluntly, James is saying, hurry up, be quiet, and listen, right? This might be a verse that you were already thinking about sharing with somebody else, right? Maybe you're tempted to text it to a friend that talks too much. Maybe you're tempted to text it to an in-law in your life. If that's you, slow down. And just know this command is for you too, right? Every single one of us needs to hear this, right? There are times where I just realize that Chelsea and I are in the middle of a conversation and I have missed the whole first half of it, right? Where I'm not listening to what is going on around me, right? A little bit self-focused, right? A little bit wrapped up in my own world, and I know that I'm not the only one. I saw several of you elbowing your spouse just now about that. We're all that way. This verse says, slow down and listen. And think about where it's sandwiched in the book. It comes right after verses that talk about trials and verses that talk about temptations, and right before verses that remind us the importance of living out in our daily life the Word of God. God's telling us here, slow down, think about what's going on, don't get angry, but instead, listen, process what is going on. Here's the deal, when we don't listen well, we don't understand well. And when we don't understand well, we don't react well. So let's do what God says here, and then let's listen, right? Be slow to speak. When you hear what you don't like, slow down, take a breath, begin to process, begin to try to understand through the lens of the Word of God, right? Let's love God. Let's love His Word enough to listen to what's going on around us. Don't spout off in anger, right? Don't say a harsh or critical word in the heat of the moment. Don't type something out in a text or on social media. Slow down, right? Listen. Think about everything that you've ever said that has hurt someone that you regret, that you wish you could have back. More than likely, those words were spoken in anger, right? More than likely, those words were spoken when you were quick to speak and not when you were slow to speak. We all have those words, those moments we wish we could take back. That's why James says slow down here. He pulls from Proverbs a lot. We introduced that when we got to the first Sunday in the book of James. Proverbs 17:28 says this, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. when he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, right? Great talkers are rarely great listeners. And our ears are never more closed than when we are angry. Be quick to listen. That great listening in daily life, that great listening in our action with other people, it's going to prepare us to receive the word of God, right? If our natural response is to lean in and listen, we'll do that when we get to God's word. If our natural response is to push back and to bristle up and to be defensive and to have that hard heart, well, we're going to bring that pattern into our study of God's word as well, right? We need to condition ourselves to be quick to listen, especially to what God has to say. When we listen, we learn, and knowing how important that is, James points us back to the word of God in verse 21. Look at verse 21. He writes, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and the rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls." If you take notes in here, and I'd encourage you to, our first point is this. It's receive the word of God. And what I mean when I say that is this. Is just take in God's word from the Bible, right? Take in the Bible. Take in the very words of God, right? Let's break down the verse. There's a little more to it than we might notice at first glance. As we read, receive the word of God, and then we get to the end of the verse and see how it has the power to save our souls, our first thought might be, okay, this verse is telling us how to become Christians, how to become followers of Jesus. But remember here, this letter was written to people that already were Christians, right? James is writing to the church of Jerusalem that was scattered about when that persecution hit in Acts chapter 7 and 8. So this letter is written to people that are already believers. And in fact, a few verses ago in James 1:18, he talks about what it looks like to become a follower of Christ. And so as we look at this in the context, we know that what this verse really is saying is, hey, let God's word penetrate your heart and ultimately your life. Receive the word, right? Soak it up, take it in, let it become a part of your heart and a part of who you are. How do we do that? Look at the first few words of verse 21. He says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Right? As again, this is written to believers. So if you're a follower of Christ, this is very applicable to you here. We are called by God to get rid of the filth in our lives, right? James is very direct. He's not playing games. He does not beat around the bush, right? He uses big words here, harsh words here. He says, get rid of the filthiness that's in your life. Get rid of the rampant wickedness that is in your life. He says, those things, if you're a child of God, they've got to go, right? They have no place in your life. Right, and look at verse 21, that there's some descriptive imagery that we may miss if we don't lean in here. You see in your Bible, if your Bible's open, where it says to put away, right? The Greek there, that verb, it's commonly used to describe the act of taking off dirty clothes, right? Taking off dirty clothes that are too far gone, you can't wear them anymore, like take them off and discard them. Throw them away. And so he wants to imagine that concept in our minds, right? This concept of dirty, filthy clothes, wickedness that is covering us. He's saying, take all of that off, get it off your body and throw it away. Don't put it in the wash. Don't put it in the dirty clothes. You're not recycling this and bringing it back later. This wickedness, these clothes, they're too far gone. They just absolutely have to go. Every now and then, Chelsea looks at me and says, that shirt's got to go, right? And if I disagree, sometimes it just goes on its own, and I never know what happened to it, right? God does that, doesn't he? Sometimes when we're blinded to the reality of sin in our life, God sends other people in. They can look at us and say, hey, man, that's not you. That's not what it looks like when you're following Jesus. Man, that's got to go. Right? That's got to get out of your life. Right? Think about what that could be. Think about the filthiness and the wickedness, that those are his words here, that could easily attach itself to our lives. We talked about temptation last week, right? So think about through that temptation, the wickedness of our world that could attach itself to our lives. What about greed? It's a big one in our world today. It's ungodly. Galatians 5 says it's an act of the flesh. In fact, we could just walk through Galatians 5 and look at a lot of this greed, anger, gossip, and that filthy, that's rampant wickedness. That does not need to be a part of who we are as children of God. Unloving hearts, unkind words coming from our mouth, lust, pride, envy. Listen, what verse 21 is telling us here is we don't want to manage wickedness in our life. Like we don't want to put up with it. We don't want to try to deal with it. We don't want to keep wearing wickedness or filthiness and maybe like cleaning up a little bit or move it to the back of our shirt so that nobody else can see it, right? That the goal is not to scrub down and look presentable. The goal is to remove the wickedness or the filth or the sin from our life and to get rid of it, right? James is saying, man, those clothes are dirty and they should not be worn anymore. And remember, just disclaimer here, this letter is written to believers, right? James is in no way saying, hey, listen, if you're far from God, if you've never trusted God, you've got to clean your life up and get rid of your wickedness in order to have a relationship with him. That's not it at all, right? We come to Jesus, right, just as we are, and we trust that he's going to forgive us of the sin in our lives, right? Jesus went first, right? The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He went first, and it's because of that, it's through that relationship that we have with him as we place our faith and trust in him, right, as we're empowered by his spirit, that it's through that power that we can take this stuff off, right? That we can discard the wickedness that is in our lives, repent of that sin, and instead turn to something else. Keep reading. Believers, verse 21, take the junk off, take the sin off, and instead receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, right? The implanted word is the truth of Jesus, right? The implanted word of God, it's the gospel, it's the good news, it's the truth, the very words that come only from God. And here's the miracle in all of this, right? If you're a follower of Christ, right, if you're a child of God, if you've trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, God's word says that you have a new heart. God's word says in 2 Corinthians 5 that you are a brand new creation. And now because of that, you can receive the word of God, right? It can take hold in your heart, right? We read here that it's got to soak deep down in there. We just need it to, just like we need a heart pumping physical blood to our bodies in order for us to live the way that God has designed our bodies to work. We need these spiritual hearts inside of us pumping the implanted word, right? The words of God out from our spiritual heart into our lives as it affects who we are, right? It's a concept seen all throughout the Bible. Jeremiah 31, 33 says this, for this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. It sounds like the implanted word of God, doesn't it? The word of God written on our heart. God goes on to say, I'm going to be their God and they'll be my people. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, we see a similar thing where God says, I'm going to give you a new heart, right? And a new spirit within you. I'm going to remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'm taking the hard heart out and I'm going to put a soft heart in. So when my word hits it, right, it can sink down in there. It can become implanted in that new soft heart that I am giving you. He goes on to say, I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes so that you are careful to obey my rules. Receive the word of God. Let it soak deep down in that soft heart that God has given you. And remember that it's all possible because he has given you that new soft heart when you've trusted in Jesus. And pay attention to the verse. Look at one more word I want to point you to in here. How do we receive the word of God? Look at verse 21. With meekness. Your Bible might say humility. We're to come to the word of God with a sense of humility, ready to soak it up. If you've been studying the Bible for a long time, if you've read it, if you know it, this is a warning for us. We do not approach the Word of God with a sense of pride, like we know it all. We do not approach the Word of God with our defenses up, ready to sort of push back on what God might say. We do not approach the Word of God with an agenda, thinking, man, this is what I want God's word to say. No, we approach the word of God with that soft heart that he's given us with humility and meekness, ready to receive from him whatever it is his word says. So listen, if we come at it with any other way, it just doesn't work, right? If we come at the Word of God with our defenses up, right? If we're not quick to listen, if our defenses are up, we're going to get to things that we might, you know, not understand in the moment. We're gonna read the words of Jesus in Luke 12:33, where Jesus says, "Sell all you have, get rid of it all, and give it to the poor." And if our defenses are already up, we're going to be thinking, man, how do I get around this? How do I make sure this doesn't apply to me? How can I escape the words of God here? And instead of approaching it with this humility and meekness and this soft heart, seeking to understand, not escape, but seeking to understand the words of God within their context, and then living them out in our lives. With humility, receive the word of God. I've got the soft heart now because of Jesus, and so let his word just sink deep down in there. Like, read the word of God, study the word of God, memorize the word of God, get in a life group and discuss the word of God, wrestle with the word of God, learn it, memorize it, treasure it. This passage, James 1, it's a major reason why I believe it's important for me and for you, for all of us, to memorize Scripture. Right? In fact, if you'll recall back, the past several Sundays, I think 3 Sundays in a row, I've given you a verse. I've said, hey, memorize this verse, right? Commit it to memory. Let it be a memory verse for the week. And so now we're just going to have a pop quiz. Somebody stand up and say the one from last week. Nobody? Man, everybody in the first service stood up. I'm just kidding, right? Here's the deal. I've given you one. Sort of unofficially, I'm just going to make it an official part of the Sunday morning teaching time, right? I'm just going to give you a verse every week and say, hey, take this home and memorize it, study it, learn it, and study it with your family, memorize it with your spouse, teach it to your kids. Man, if you're not single and there's no family at home, man, get with other people and just memorize the word of God. Grandparents, if you have grandkids that are living far away from you and you don't get to see them on a regular basis, man, what an opportunity to invest in their walk with Jesus spiritually, right? Call them each week and say, here's the verse this week, and begin to memorize the word of God together. This week's verse is coming up here in just a minute. And if you're thinking, I don't have time for that, I can't memorize the word of God, I've got too much going on, I'd argue that you can, right? You're going to make room in your mind for what you value, for what is important to you. And the reality is this: we all have all kinds of trivial information just floating around up there in our brains. Chelsea laughs at this, but it's true. If you ask me any question about Seinfeld after the service today in the atrium, I'm going to know the answer, right? That is rattling around in my mind, just like you know the answer about your favorite celebrities, your favorite sports figures, your favorite sports teams. Maybe you're a car guy or something. Maybe it's stamps or coins. We've all got hobbies and we memorize stuff about them. Our students are memorizing stuff, we hope, day in and day out in school. Well, we've got a lot of capacity up here to put things in and to allow it to come down into our heart. All right, let's make sure that we are memorizing the words of God. Listen to what Psalm 19:10 says about God's word. God's words are to be desired more than gold, even fine gold. God's word is sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. So God tells us in James 1, put off the filth, right? Take that off. Doesn't need to be in our life. And receive his word. And notice something. Listen to how I say this. Put off, right? Take off the filth, and then receive his word. See what James abandons the illustration right in the middle of it. He's saying take off the old clothes, but he doesn't say put on new clothes. He says take off the old clothes and then receive the word of God. Why would he say it like this? Here it is. It's because the focus is on more than just adopting a new set of rules. Right, God through James here, he's not prescribing this new behavior to put on as this external morality, this external, you know, rule keeping of sorts. Right, that's not it. Right, what happens in the life of a believer? Right, we trust Christ and we're given this soft heart. We're told to receive the words of God, let it sink down and be implanted in our heart, right? So it soaks down in there, and then that spiritual heart pumps it out into our lives, right? James is not teaching behavior modification here. He's teaching life transformation. And it happens as the word of God works its way into our hearts. We have to receive the word of God, right? My 7-year-old is the quarterback of his flag football team this fall. And as an unbiased parent, I'll tell you that he is a significantly better passer than his teammates are receivers. He was in the first service sitting right down there, and he said, yeah, I am. And we're working on humility at home too. But here's the deal, right? The first couple of practices, it was interesting because he's got older brothers. Right? So he plays with his older brothers at home. He throws harder than most 6 and 7 year olds do. And so those first couple practices, he's playing quarterback and he's throwing to his receivers and it looks like he's playing dodgeball, right? He's bouncing these balls off their hands, off their chest, off their faces. Kids are turning around because it's coming hard and they're getting hit in the back and the back of the head. And it's sort of funny, but also sort of not because they need to catch it in order for the team to do well. But here's the thing, right? These people have the title of receiver. If it hits their hands and falls to the ground, have they received it? No. Same is true with the Word of God. Right? If the Word of God hits our ears and rolls around in there for a minute and then bounces out when we walk out those doors and it doesn't penetrate our heart, it doesn't reveal itself in our life, have we received the Word of God? I don't already know. James is going to solidify that argument and tell us no here in just a minute. Right? So if you read the Word of God on a daily basis, you've got a quiet time, it's fantastic. Right? But if you read it with the sense of, I just got to get through it and check it off before I can start my day, and you walk away from it and you put it down and you forget what it said and you don't let it get into your heart and then therefore out into your life, right? James would say that you have not received the Word of God. Right? Let it soak down into that soft heart God gave you. Really receive it, and then day by day, right, it will be made known in how you live. Remember at the beginning, we talked, there's a difference between knowing and doing. These next couple of verses are going to show that if we truly know, if we truly receive God's word, we are going to do what it says. Here's the memory verse for the week, right? James 1:22. Write it down, right? Probably won't be a pop quiz, but there might be a pop quiz next Sunday. We're just going to have to wait and see on that. But write this down and memorize it this week if you don't already know it. James 1:22 says this, be doers of the word, not just hearers deceiving yourselves. If the book of James has a theme verse, this is it, right? Take the word of God and live it out. Look at verse 23. He goes on to say, if anyone hears the word and doesn't do the word, well, it's like a man that looks intently at his face in the mirror. He looks at himself, he goes away, and he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, that's the word of God, and perseveres, being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, that person will be blessed in what he does. Point one was receive the word, and point two naturally flows from it. Live the word, right? Receive the word and then live the word. You've heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. Well, this is it right here. If we've received the word of God, if his truth is implanted in our hearts, we read that we are going to live it out, right? James says to what God's word says. It's a very, very simple concept. And in verse 22, we see there are people that hear the word, it bounces off their ears, right, and they deceive themselves, right? And this word for deceive, it's used twice in the New Testament, and I want you to understand that both times it is talking about people that are blinded to the reality of their spiritual condition, right? It's talking about people who have heard God's word, and they don't do what it says. They think that they're being obedient to God. They think that they're right with God, but we read here that it's deception. And again, what we have this built-in illustration, the mirror, right? How often do you look in the mirror? Why do you look in the mirror? At the risk of oversimplifying things, we look in the mirror to make things right, don't we? Right? In the morning when we're getting ready, the way we look when we leave the mirror is different than when we got to the mirror, isn't it? We look in the mirror and our hair's messed up, so we fix it, don't we? We look in the mirror and there's some toothpaste on our mouth, and like before we walk around a bunch of people, we fix what we see. We clean it off. Our makeup's messed up, or our shirts are you know, out of order. We just fix it, right? This illustration, like admittedly, James makes this illustration silly, right? He says, describe somebody that looks in the mirror and then walks away changing nothing. And he uses this illustration because nobody would really do that, right? People look in order to make changes. We wouldn't walk away. Well, he's saying, listen, people that hear the word of God and then don't live the word of God, people that just hear the word of God and don't absorb the word of God and then live it out, right? It's like the people that look in a mirror and don't make the changes. He's saying it's a very, very silly thing to do. And listen, that's not the way that a follower of Jesus would live their life. Listen, just think about this for a minute. Because there are countless people that hear the word. Some of them are in church every Sunday. They hear the word, and man, it bounces off the ear, and it doesn't get planted in the heart, right? And then they can tell, they can know that because they aren't living it out. Now, they might sometimes when it agrees with their current lifestyle or when it's convenient, but listen, and for those people, when the Bible confronts them or convicts them or challenges them, when they look into the mirror of the Word of God and see that their life is out of alignment and they need to make some changes, listen, that they turn away. They turn away from the mirror and they forget what they have seen. Listen, children of God, followers of Jesus, can't and won't treat His words that way, right? We need to understand that we need the Word of God in our hearts, and by His grace and by His goodness to us, He allows it to take root deep inside of us. Look back at verse 23, right? How do we look at the Word of God? The phrase there is intently. We intently look at the Word of God. It's a word that sort of denotes closer examination, right? That word intently means to stoop down, right? To get low, to get your face right in there and really do it. So how do we do that with the Word of God? It's not about our proximity of our face to the text. No, it's about looking, desiring understanding, right? And there's questions, right? Tools you can use to help look intently in the Word of God, right? I ask some questions as I read the Word of God. I would teach this to students all the time, right? Here's a question that you can just look at as you're reading the Word of God. As I'm reading, is there a sin to be avoided here in this text? Right? It's part of looking intently. Is there a promise to be claimed here in this text? It's part of looking intently. Is there an example to follow here in this text? Is there a command to be obeyed here in this text? Or just the overarching, God, well, what can I learn about You from this passage of Scripture? Read the Word of God intently, desiring understanding, right? Get deep down in there, right? Absorb the Word of God and then respond to what you see in verse 25. It's critical. It says, the one that looks at the Word of God and then does it, that person is going to be blessed in what they do. Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? In Luke 11:28, Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. He said the same thing in Matthew 7. Everyone that hears these words of mine and then does them, right, lives them out, that person is like a man that built his house on the rock. He says that person will stand. Storms of life will come, and they won't get blown away. But those that hear the word and don't live it have deceived themselves. They've built their life on the sand, and they will not stand. Don't deceive yourself when it comes to the word of God. Right, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he said this, to deceive is bad. To deceive yourself is worse. To deceive yourself about your soul, that's the worst of all. We're reminded here in James 1, receive the word humbly and live it out wholeheartedly. And then James wraps it up, right? He brings this section to a close and he gives us two verses. There's like little self-check verses at the end of this talk of living out the word of God. And we're not going to get all the way into these verses because they're covered a lot in the rest of the letter, but let's just look at it and just give ourselves this little self-check. He goes on in verse 26 and says, if anyone thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but he deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep yourself unstained from the world, right? Take off the dirty, filthy clothes, right? God's word tells us here, control our speech. Jesus has told us, out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks. So if God's word has been implanted in our hearts, we see that our words will be loving and encouraging. Our words will be life-giving and gospel-sharing, right? We'll use our words to build up and point to Jesus and not to tear down and take away from His word, right? The next verse says, God, His word tells us to focus on those that are in need, on the poor among us, those that need help, specifically widows and orphans. If God's word is in our hearts, well, we're going to live in a way where we can meet the need of others, meaning we're not going to use all of our time, all of our energy, all of our resources, all of our money. We're not going to use it all on us. We're going to create margin in our life where we can meet the needs of other people just like God has told us to. And it's not just that we'll be willing to, so we actually will do these things. Right? We will do the word of God as it overflows from our hearts. We cannot separate knowing the word of God from living the word of God. So let's do what we read here. Let's receive the word humbly. So read your Bible, memorize parts of your Bible. As you go to it, whether in your time alone with the Lord during the week or in here on Sunday morning or your life group class or a Bible study, wherever you go, come with a soft heart, a humble, a meek heart, ready to allow God's word to soak deep down in there. And as it soaks deep down in there, live it out wholeheartedly, right? And by God's grace, as it's in our hearts, we will live it out, because it's not some manufactured set of rules we're trying to adopt. It's just simply who we are, as our heart pumps his word out into our lives. And as that happens, just imagine the impact that it makes on our lives, on our families' lives, the impact it makes on our church family, and ultimately our community. Let's ensure that we are following Jesus and living out what he has told us to do. Would you pray with me this morning? And as our heads are bowed, let me just take a minute if you just think about God's word this morning. We could be all over the map with where we're at when it relates to the word of God, but I think that we can all be in a place where we could just offer prayer and say, God, help me to, with a spirit of humility, receive your word. Maybe you would say, you know what, I've been prideful and I've tried to do life my way apart from the word of God. If that's you this morning, and just confess that before God and say, God, I've been doing it my way. I want to do it your way. God, by your grace, help me receive your word. Or maybe you're at a different spot. Maybe you've studied the word of God for a long, long time, right? You know a lot about it. And maybe this morning you say, you know what, I've been prideful. I've been approaching the word of God as if I already know it. I've been approaching the word of God and I've lost my sense of awe and expectation. God, that you're going to teach me, if that's you this morning. Again, you say, God, help me with a humble heart to receive your word. Give me that soft heart, Lord. Let your word be implanted deep down in there. And then just pray this. Say, God, help me to live it out. God, as it comes in, let it really get in there. So that as that spiritual heart pumps, it just pumps out into my life. God, help me to obey what you've called me to do. Help me to love you with my whole heart. Help me to love my neighbor as myself. Help me to meet the needs of widows and orphans. God, help me. Help me to live in a way that honors you. Help me to take off the rampant wickedness that's out there in this world. God, just strengthen my desire to live out your word. And if you'd say this morning, you know what? I don't have that soft heart because I've never trusted in Jesus as my Savior. I've never become a child of God. Don't leave here today without talking to someone about trusting in Christ, about having your sins forgiven, about becoming a new creation in Jesus. And don't leave here today without praying with one of us about what God wants to do in your life. God, we thank you.